number 6 tonight. Amen. Thank you for being back in church tonight. I told Brother Benny it looked like maybe some people caught the summertime blues. The sun started shining and blew them right out. Amen. But it's good to see you in church tonight. Thank you for being here in your place. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Don't forget choir. We'll meet on Wednesday night at 7. And then on our midweek service will be Thursday night at 7:30. You don't want to miss this Thursday night. Brother Charles Muston will be here. I promise you, it's going to be a blessing. So you don't want to miss that if it's any way possible. Be here. Matthew, chapter number 6. You got your place? Say amen. We'll begin reading in verse number 19. And the Bible says, verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take ye no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us another opportunity to be back in your house. We thank you for each one that have made their way here. And we pray for those that are not able to be here but would like to be. Pray for those that are traveling. Pray your hand be upon them. But, Lord, especially tonight, right now, for these next few moments, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us right here in this place that is gathered together. I pray you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word. I pray, God, you'd use this preacher as your mouthpiece. I pray you'd help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May I be led, and I pray may I be empowered with unction from on high. And I pray, oh God, Lord, I pray that you'd use the message to be a help and a blessing in our lives. I pray for those that are here. I pray for those that may be watching. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts and lives. We'll thank you for all you do. We'll give you all the glory and all the praise. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Many people sitting in our churches today are at their wits' end. I see he is shaking. But I've just this week, I've had phone calls. I've had messages sent to me. Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. Preacher, it seems the harder I try, the worse it gets. It seems that I try to get ahead and I cannot get ahead. And it seems like, preacher, it seems like the more I try and the more I go after this and the more I want to do this, it seems like things just pile up. They're in a constant state of worry. They're in a state of their lives are in chaos. They can't seem to get it together. They don't think they can go on. They can't seem to make ends meet. They get to the point at times where they wonder if they can go on, and if so, how much longer can they take it? They become totally dissatisfied with themselves and with life and with everything that they're dealing with. And they just flat get to the point where they feel like giving up. And I don't know about you, but there's many people that sit in our churches on a weekly basis that I just described. But I've got good news. Jesus gives us a key right here in the Word of God how to deal with all of it. Jesus gives us a key right here in this text from which we've read how to deal with life and how to deal with the troubles and how to deal with all the cares and all the things that we worry about. Jesus gives us the key. In verses 25 through 34, he deals with worry. He deals with anxiety. He repeatedly says something about take ye no thought or take no thought or taking thought. And the idea of taking thought is the idea of to be anxious or to be troubled with cares. We in modern day, we say worry. He said, don't worry. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be over-caring about this or that. Notice in verse number 25, he used the phrase, take no thought. In verse 27, which of you by taking thought? Verse 28, why take ye thought? Verse 31, take no thought. Verse 34, take therefore no thought. So repeatedly through these 8-9 verses that were there in that part of the text, Jesus says, basically, what are you worrying about? Don't worry. Don't worry. No need to worry. Don't take no thought about these things. Now, he deals with things that you and I, as human beings, are prone to take thought about. Things that we are prone and very likely to worry about, be anxious about. He deals with things like life. Verse number 25, take no thought for your life. Life and all the things that are involved. When I think of life, we think of health. Many times people are worried. If you talk to people about what they're worried about, a lot of them are worried about their health. And they don't know what's going to be like. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. They don't know what the doctor... But they're worried about it. They're worried about not only health, they're worried about their finances. Worried about, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money. I don't have enough money to live on. I don't know if I have enough money to pay my bills. I don't know if I have enough money to take care of my family. I don't know if I have enough money to retire. They're worried about food. Jesus talked about food. He said what you should eat, drink, what you should drink. He talked about clothing, the raiment, whatever you put on. He talked about the raiment. Many times that's what one thing people around the world are worried about. Am I going to have enough food? Am I going to have the nice clothes? Am I going to have clothes? He talked about fitness. We're living a day of fitness gurus. Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, but he asked the question, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into a stature? Some people worry because they're too short. I got news for you. Don't worry about it. You can't change it. I'm going bald. Well, go bald, amen. And nothing you can do about it. I heard people rubbing aftershave on top of their head, trying to make their hair grow. I don't want to go bald, but if I do, I'm going to be glad I ain't got to go pay $20 for a haircut, amen? And so, people are worried about things. They're worried about what they're going to eat. They're worried about what they're going to drink. They're worried about their fitness, their stature. They're worried about how big they are. Some people are worried about they're too big, they're too little. Nobody's ever happy. If they're 6'1", they wish they was 5'10". If they're 5'10", they wish they was 6'5". Then people worry about their future, deals with that. In verse number 34, take no thought what's to be on tomorrow. No need worrying about tomorrow, but that's the kind of stuff we're worried about. You know, realize that many of the things that we tend to get worked up about, the things that we tend to get anxious about, Jesus dealt with them right here in this text. I mean, the things that you and I tend to bite our fingernails and get our nerves all shattered and tore up. And I got news for you. There's a God in heaven tonight. And his hair is not getting pulled out. His fingers are not wringing with sweat. He's not shaking. He's not popping pills. Everything is under control. And the thing we need to realize is that you and I cannot and will not change one thing by worrying about it. None of us have ever changed anything by worrying about it. Now, medical doctors will tell you that worrying affects your health. So the worst thing you can do about your health is worry about it. Because the more you worry about it, the worse it's going to get. And I got news for you. We all going to get old if we don't die. Stop thinking about that. We're going to get old if we don't die. And if we get old, our body's going to break down.
Your bones not going to be as strong as they was. Your mind's not going to be as keen as it was. Your eyes won't see as good as it was. I'm just going to help you. You ain't got to worry about it. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. Amen? I'm 44. I'm not 24. When I was 24, I'd have jumped off this roof. When I'm 44, I don't even want to get on this roof. Now, I'm not old. Amen? I got a long way to go. Amen, Brother Rodney? But I can't change any of it by worrying about it. You can't change how much money you got, how much food you're going to have. You can't change your clothes by worrying about them. You can't change your future. You can't change your finances, your fitness by sitting around worrying about it. Notice verse number 25. Jesus begins verse number 25 with the word that says, therefore. Right? You see that? Therefore. Therefore meaning because of or in light of what He just said. Right? So, a good rule of thumb is when you find the word therefore, find out what it's there for. Right? So let's look back at what Jesus had just said and find out what that therefore is there for. That makes sense? And I want to preach on this thought tonight on singleness of purpose, the key to a worry-free life. Singleness of purpose, the key to a worry-free life. Notice verse number 25, therefore, He's looking back at what He has just said. So that's what we're going to do tonight, is we're going to look back at what He just said in verses 19 through 24. He gives us in those verses the key to a worry-free life. In verse number 24, I like what He said. He said, no man can serve two masters. That's a pretty good start. Because what we find in these verses is there must be a singleness of purpose. A singleness of purpose. Now, I'll just say this up front. Jesus is not forbidding us to be prudent or from being prudent. He's not stopping us and warning us about providing for our families and our future. It is wise, and He teaches us elsewhere in the Word of God how it's wise and how we ought to take care for our own household and how it's wise to lay up. It's wise to do some things in planning. But He is forbidding us from letting that become our top priority and our sole focus in life. There's a difference. The wearing and the corroding and the self-tormenting, the being over-careful and the over-anxiousness is wrong for the Christian. The one who, instead of being wise and frugal with their money and their goods, starts living for their goods has crossed the line. Jesus said, no one, no man can serve two masters. No man, no woman, no one ever can serve both sides, the world and God, God and money, and prosper spiritually. There must be a singleness of focus, a singleness of purpose. I want to give you some simple thoughts tonight. I believe it will help us tonight as we look through this text. Notice what Jesus says about our singleness of purpose. Because I'm here to tell you that the people that are afraid about life, the people that are strung out, the people that are in chaos, they are those that have not learned to have a singleness of focus, a singleness of purpose in life. Rather, they are trying to please both sides. They are trying to serve two masters. They are trying to reach out in two different directions. So let's see what Jesus said. Verse 19 through number 21, He says something about the place of our focus. The place of our focus. And I just want to hit this for a second, that I'm telling you, people are at their wit's end. How are we going to keep from being at our wit's end? How are we going to keep from worrying about everything? And our nerves are shot and we just can't go on. How are you going to keep from, as a child of God, letting the cares of the world weigh you down? I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about things that we need sometimes to live life. But they take number one priority, and they should not take number one priority. And they get our focus all out of whack, and our life is a mess. Our life is filled with chaos and confusion. He says something about the place of our focus. Verse 19 and 21, He says this. He said, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth. And that's where a lot of people are today. American Christians are trying to lay up treasures on earth. There's nothing wrong with having things. But Jesus is telling us here about our treasures. how to lay up them not on this earth. But he says, rather on this earth, he said, moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But he said, rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. He tells us about a real safe place. Most of us, if you have something valuable, you want to put it somewhere where it's not going to get tore up. You got something made out of metal, you want to put it in a dry place, you don't want it to rust. You got a nice set of clothes that they'll tell you down at the suit store, put them on cedar hangers and all that stuff. I ain't buying those stinking cedar hangers. That'll keep the moths off. Well, if you wear them more than once a year, to keep the moths off. So, he's telling us about a real safe place. See, one thing we get all worried about, we get worried about things that moth and rust can corrupt, where thieves can break through and steal them. And we're building up treasures on this earth, and we're trying to see how much more. We're not trying to live. We're not just trying to pay our bills. We're trying to pile it up, saving for a rainy day, saving for this. And Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth. He said, because this earth is where moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. In other words, the things that you're laying up, they are corruptible things. They are things that will be destroyed. They will not last forever. So don't worry about getting so wrapped up that you're laying things on this earth. He said, rather, your priority ought to be on laying up your treasures somewhere else. That is, somewhere beyond the blue, somewhere in heaven. Lay up some things in heaven by having a priority, having your focus on heaven, having your focus on the things of God, having your focus on serving Him, having your focus on putting Him first, and making sure that you do something in this life that will last for you eternally. He says this, look in verse number 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our heart will soon be where our treasure is. I can tell you where your heart is tonight if you'll just show me your checkbook. Because if I see where you spend most of your money, I know what you're interested in. Because what you invest in, you'll be interested in. What you invest in, you'll eventually become intimate with. About. Hello. Where you spend your time and your money, your heart's going to go there. You ain't going to throw a bunch of money in something and then turn your back on it and don't care. Some of you may have some 401s or some retirement. And when you put money in that type of thing, you want to keep an eye on it. You want to know because you're interested in it because you've invested in it. The same thing when it comes to your spiritual life and your spiritual matters. Listen, when you invest in heaven, you're interested in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've got scores of people in our churches and they're investing their lives into the world and they're investing on building themselves a name and building themselves this and building themselves a kingdom. And it's like they're torn. Because they ain't too worried about heaven because they got it nice here. Used to years ago, you can read and you can go back and listen to preachers from 50 and 60 years ago and you can listen to them and they preach about going to heaven and I'm talking about it would be like they're swinging from the chandeliers, people excited. Because they didn't have plush carpet. They didn't have hardwood floors, wall-to-wall, air conditioning, central air, cable television. They didn't have all the latest and greatest. They weren't living for this world. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, this is not our best life. May I remind you tonight, the best is still yet to come. May I remind you that everything around you, one day if the thieves don't get it, if the moths don't get it, if the rust doesn't get it, the fire's going to get it. Ladies and gentlemen, real global warming is on the way. This earth and all the elements of it will be melted with a fervent heat. It's going to burn up. So he tells us, what you invest in, where you're going to be interested in, what you're going to be intimate with. Listen to this, write it down. Materialism will captivate and enslave your heart. Your heart is your emotions. Mark it down, your heart. Materialism
will affect heart. You'll get emotional about it. You'll get emotional about where you put your money. If you're sowing your money in the kingdom of God, if you're investing your life in the kingdom of God, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. But that's not what he said. He said, don't be laying your treasures up in this world. Don't be thinking you're going to save up and get build this and build that. And this. It's going to burn up one day. Enjoy it while you're here. If God's blessed you with something nice, enjoy it while you're here. But don't, hey, listen, don't think you're going to drive your stakes too deep and stay. You're not going to stay here forever. The place of our focus as children of God. Is He not the King? I understand He's the church's bridegroom and we are His bride. I understand that. But when He comes again, He's the King. Amen. When Jesus comes back to this earth, He's the King. And He is sowing some kingdom principles here in Matthew chapter number 6. And so as we look at Him as He is the only God, He's the only King, He's the only potentate, He is the King eternal. And we look at this, if we want to be wise stewards and wise servants and wise sons, we would realize that it's not about this world, but it's about a world to come. And so we sow seeds, and we sow our lives. It's not all about money. But it's everything about our life that we spend our lives for the world to come. This world's going to burn up. This world's going to rot and deteriorate. But heaven, honey, heaven will surely be worth it all. Number two, not only does He say something about the place of our focus, but He says something about the purity of our focus. The purity of our focus. Look in verse number 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye, therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Basically, in a nutshell, what he's saying here is that eyes that are clouded by greed see nothing but darkness. If your eye, he says in verse number 22, if the light of the body is the eye, and then your eye be single, your whole body be light. In other words, if your eye is focused on one thing, and it's bringing in the light, you'll have light. But verse 23, if an eye be evil, it's not focused on one thing, it's not focused on Christ, but rather it's greed, then you're out of focus. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? God's precepts and principles and truths must have our first attention in our lives. And then and only then will everything else fall into its rightful place in our inner man. We cannot live focused on the world and focused on material goods and focused on money and focused on this and that and all the things of the world. The world is going to burn up. And then expect God to give us perfect peace. What Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And so when we think about this, our minds and our intellect should be wrapped around the things of God, the principles of the Word of God. And an eye in this world, an eye for materialism, and an eye for the Master together, trying to be focused on both. I'm looking at material goods. I'm looking at the Master. And I'm trying to look at both. What you're going to be is you're going to be out of focus. And everything's going to become confused. Could you imagine if I said, I'm going to look in that corner, I'm going to look in that corner. There are some people who can do that. I can't do that. If I try to do that, I'm going to get real blurry-eyed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you try to look in two different directions, somebody cross your eyes, I'm going to look over there. And my eyes get real. I'm not trying to be funny, but it is sort of funny. But I get real blurry-eyed. Trying to look at two different... You can't focus on two different things at the same time. That's what I'm trying to say. So if I'm trying in my life, I'm going through my life and I get wrapped up on material things and I get wrapped up on this life's goods and I get wrapped up on money and I get wrapped up on the things that I would become greedy about, what I'm doing is I'm trying to say, well, I'm a Christian. I want to please God, but I also want to live for this. And so what happens is my focus is off. I'm trying to look at two different things and my focus is all out. And then I get blurry-eyed. I get confused.
When I think about confusion, you know the word Babylon. You know the city Babylon. The word Babylon means confusion. You study what Babylon has everything to do with humanism and materialism. Babylon is confusion. Matter of fact, when you look over in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, when you get over there and you see Babylon the Great, Babylon that's going to fall, Babylon is known for its wealth. Babylon is all about the material good, but Babylon's going to burn. What are we doing? What are we living for? What are we focused on? Are we focused on the master, or are we focused on money and materials? Materialism, I told you materialism will capture and enslave our heart and affect our emotions, but materialism will cloud and enslave our mind, which is our intellect, the way that we think. So it affects our heart and it affects our mind. It affects our emotions, it affects our intellect. Materialism, we deal with it every day. Why people, their minds are all messed up. They got to go to doctors and they got to get pills. They don't know how to cope with life. They can't handle the pressures. Do you not understand that Satan, the prince of the power that's there, he can't get your soul, but he gets you focused and he gets you all mixed up. He gets you looking at this and worried about that and stressed out about this and stressed out about that, trying to pay this and trying to rob Peter and go over here and pay Paul. And we're worried about things that are going to burn up one day. Not only do we see the place of our focus, not only do we see the purity of our focus, but we see in verse number 24 the person of our focus. I'm talking about a singleness of purpose or focus in life. The person. Notice verse 24. No man, you can put your name there, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, that idea there is hate is to detest. He's either going to hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Listen, here it is, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. It is impossible to serve two masters. It cannot be dual allegiances. Jesus said it's like this. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon. You can't do both. Now, you live in the same world I live. We must have money to operate. Am I right? We must have money. But money must not have us. And that's where we cross the line too many times in our life. We go from having to have money to where money now has us. We go from having materials until, well, materials have us. And instead of having enough to pay our bills, enough to put clothes on our back, enough to put food in our belly, then we got to do this, and this. And we can't serve God. We can't put God first because we got to make more, save more, gain more, get more, get. And we think, my name is Jimmy, and I'll take all you give me. Amen, Brother Jimmy? Lot got his focus off. You remember Lot? He looked off toward the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, I want that. You know what it cost him? It cost him everything but his life, his two daughters. And he wound up in sin, a life of regret. But you remember Moses? Moses was down there in Egypt, and Moses made a decision. Moses made a decision to walk away from Egypt and to walk away from the goods of Pharaoh and to walk away from the throne, choosing rather what? The greater riches of Christ. What are you living for? Do you have money, or does money have you? One man said it like this: what we're doing here tonight, many people in America, we're trying to impress others and we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And we spend money that we don't have to buy things that we don't need to impress people that we don't even like. Because we've got to keep up with the Joneses. We've got to keep up with our neighbors. After all, my kid's got to have more than any other kid. kids today got so much junk. Kids today got more than adults did, I think, when I was a kid. Well, my kids got to have an iPad, and they got to have an iPhone, and they got to have an iPad. Why don't they get an IOU and go get a job? Let me time. Can I run a rabbit? Your kid don't need no telephone. And if you put an internet in the room with your kid, you're crazy. And if you, I'm telling you, if you have a, if you give your kids a cell phone with Wi-Fi internet on it with no parental controls, you have lost your ever living mind. I'm 44, trying to live for God, trying to please God, and it's hard as a dickens sometimes. You push the wrong button, it's a whoa! And you imagine what kids can get to if they're trying. Let me just throw this out there. You don't have to give your kids the latest and the greatest of everything. They can learn to work and learn to appreciate. One reason we got a generation of spoiled brats out on the street protesting everything is because somebody handed them everything and never told them no and never made them work. Some of them boys, what they need is some blisters on their hands. What they need is a shovel and a pocket knife and a roll of baling twine and a flannel shirt and a blue jeans and some boots, bless God, and go out in the field and bale some hay. It do some of y'all good. I'm telling you, it do some of y'all good to go outside once in a while. When I was growing up, we didn't even have television. Man, I remember at church I grew, y'all couldn't have took it. We weren't allowed to watch television. Same people's got high-speed internet now, but we couldn't watch TV back then. We all have rabbit ears. But anyway, how am I running that rabbit, amen? Let me get back up here on the trail. Yeah, man. Where was I at anyway? Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't know where I was, but I can't remember. Amen. Yeah, you ain't got to, thank you. You ain't got to give your kids everything. We stayed, listen, the only time we stayed inside was when it was thunderstorming and we was begging Mom to let us go outside and lay in the grass when it rained. Jump in the mud puddle. These kids today wouldn't know what it was like jumping mud puddles. If you listen, let me say this to Mom and Dad. I'm going to just have a little, we're going to have a little good time tonight, all right? All right? I don't want to go home yet, all right? If you got to go. I hope you've got a kid that wants to jump in a mud puddle. If you got one, you ought to thank God. It ain't got nothing to do with spirituality, but you just ought to thank God if you got a kid, a boy that wants to play with mud. A boy that wants a pocket knife. They don't want to give kids pocket knives. My goodness, man. When I was growing up, every boy had a pocket knife. I don't know what this has got to do with what I'm preaching. Every boy ought to have a pocket knife, and every girl ought to have a pocketbook and a baby doll somewhere. Teach them to be boys and girls. Man, we might as well hit that while we're here. We then got sidetracked. Get back on the singleness of focus. Let's get back focused. The person of our focus is Jesus. It ought to be Jesus. You got to have money, but money doesn't have to have you. And you really, I know the world, the commercials and everything, the latest and greatest and the brand new trucks and the brand new cars and the brand new this and the brand new that. And if you're not careful, you get sucked up in. You say, well, everybody else has got that. I got to get that. Believe it or not, I've never had an iPhone. You don't have to have an iPhone. Believe it or not, if I could get by with it, I'd go back to no phone. Life was much more simple. I was 26, 27, somewhere around about that. When I went to college, when I moved to North Carolina, I didn't even have a phone. I had to go out and get a cell phone so I could call my parents. And kids today is 11 years old, and they just got to have the latest. I got to have that iPhone 10X or whatever it is. Oh yeah, and we wonder why we're all mixed up. We've got to go out and see what happens. His mom and dad, he's working their fingers to the bone, working all kinds of crazy shifts and hours, and they're never home, and their kids have nobody spending time with them, and their kids have nobody disciplined, nobody watching over them, and their kids are getting in all kinds of trouble, and their kids don't have anybody loving on them. They think nobody cares. Mom and dad, like, well, they know I care because I'm buying them. Sometimes they need more than money. Sometimes they just need a little time. Sometimes they need a little affection. They need somebody maybe put your arm around them and go out and throw the baseball with them. Go out and buy a hot dog. Go skip a rock. Some of these kids probably don't know how to skip a rock. Somebody will take them down to the river and show them how to skip a rock. Have a rock fight, better yet, amen. Not at church. Listen, we spend money and we wonder where it's going to come from. I'm not promoting violence. That was fun when I was a kid. Amen. Listen, but we get all wrapped up and greedy. And got to have more. And we're never satisfied with enough. Like one man who was a billionaire, and asked him, how much is enough? He said, one more dollar. Listen, if you try to be employed by two masters, it's not going to work. Sooner or later, one of them masters is going to take the precedence over the other. Try it. How many of you ever worked two jobs at the same time? You ever worked two jobs? One of them is the main one. One of them is going to take precedence, are they not? If one of them says, I need you to work overtime, you're going to have to make a decision which one you're going to work for. And in life, in the Christian life, you've got to have money. But Jesus is our master. And when it boils down to it, if Jesus has put me first and served me, but money says, if you do that, you're not going to be able to buy this. Material says, if you do that, you're not going to have this, you're not going to have that. You've got a decision to make. No man can serve two masters. No man. Here's what will happen. Materialism, not only will it capture and enslave your heart, your emotions, not only will it cloud and enslave your mind, your intellect, but materialism will capture and control or enslave your will. Emotions, intellect, and will. And materialism and the things of this world enslave in all points, if we let it. And when my heart and my mind and my will are divided into two different directions, you know what happens? There's division. There's chaos. There's unrest. There's confusion in my life. There's no peace. And I'm at my wit's end. Because my intellect, my emotion, and my will are all trying to go in two different directions. And we can sit here tonight and we can try to appease our minds and our consciences, and we can excuse our misguided focuses by referring to things, well, you know, I've got to have this, and I've got to provide for my body, I've got to provide for my family, I've got to provide for my future. But Jesus had an answer to all of these. Here was Jesus' idea. Take no thought. In verse 33 of our text, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And watch this. And all these things, life, food, drink, raiment, stature, all these things that you think you've got to have, you seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we seek Him first, when we trust Him to add all of these things, it is then and only then that we will know the satisfaction of a life that is lived with singleness of purpose. Where is your focus tonight? What is your singleness of purpose? Are you at your wits' end about things in life and things you can't control? Have you tried and you've done everything and you've worked for this and it seems like you always come up empty-handed and it seems like you can't never get enough? How about this? What if tonight you said, Jesus makes it real simple. My priority is to seek Him first. Put Him first. Lay up treasures in heaven. Serve Him. Seek Him first in all that I do. I don't want to be unwise. I want to be wise and prudent according to what He teaches me. But with my life, I want to give Him first place. I want to seek Him. I want Him and His rule, His righteousness, and His kingdom to take top priority in my life. And Jesus, if I do that, You said You'd add all these things. He didn't say He was going to make me rich, but He said He'd take care of my needs. Amen. If He chooses to make me rich, that's His business. But if He doesn't, I'm just going to take Him at His word that He's going to meet my need. Oh, can I go on Exhibit A? I don't think I've missed too many meals. And I'm not trying to be funny and facetious. I've been honest. Don't know that I've had a bill late. This suit, I don't even know where this suit came from, but this suit probably is a $700-$800 suit. I didn't buy it. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying if you went down there and buy it, this old boy couldn't buy it. Are you listening? Not because I'm great, but because Jesus said, if you put me first. I remember this. I remember this as clear as a bell. I remember I was 20 couple years old, 20. I guess it was about 1999 probably. That's when I got saved. And in 2000, 2001, 2002, I moved to North Carolina. 2002, long years ago. Amen. And I remember God called me to preach. I remember God put it in my heart. Son, if you're going to preach, you're dumb. You're going to have to go to college. You're going to have to find your Bible school and go to. God put it in my heart. And I had a decent job. I was making pretty good money back then. I was single, mid-20s. Had a race car. I mean, I thought everything was going good. God said, I want you to preach, son. And I thought, I'd sit there and I'd be running the machines and I'd be thinking, I'd be bent over that machine with a wrench in my hand. I'd be thinking, man, there's no way. There's no way. I don't have money now. If I quit my job and go to college, I'm going to have to pay money. I'm not going to make. There's no way. I'll be 40 and I'll be a beggar. God said, you just trust me. You put me first. I'll take care of the rest. And I'm standing here tonight as a testimony that God will do what He said He'd do. I don't have to sit up at night and worry about, you know, paying bills and whatever. I'm not bragging. I'm not on me. I'm bragging on Jesus. And what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is if we would learn to focus on serving Him and on putting Him first, He'll take care of all these things we worry about all the time. Your family, your finances, your future. A singleness of purpose. But when our minds and our hearts and our will, when it's all divided, what we're trying to do is please more than one person. No man can serve two masters. Father, help us tonight in Jesus' name as we come to this time of invitation. We thank You for Your word. I pray, God, that You bless it. Lord, I pray, God, You just search our hearts. You know the needs of the hour. You know each person that's here. There may be some tonight that's not even saved. We pray for them. And then, Lord, we pray for Christians. Lord, help us to have our focus, our purpose of life and living set on You, of a singleness of purpose. We want to please You. We want to seek You first. Pray, God, You'd help us tonight. Do it all for Your glory. Everything that You do, we ask You to do in Jesus' name. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.